God, you're back. This is fantastic. I'm Claire Bottomley and I'm your host, and this certainly is the recruiting superhero. Yep, you're excited, I'm excited. And if you can't wait anymore, go ahead, listen, and let me know what you think. In this episode of the Recruiting Superhero, you get to hear all about Ellie Griggs. Ellie is a seasoned regional HR advisor, and I really wanted to get onto the show because she had lots and lots of good things to say about HR. It was really important to hear her opinion about current HR negatives and positives, and also to plug her in a way. There's so many people out there that don't have a role at the moment. If there is any role out there that you think Ellie would be fitting for, please do give her a shout. In this episode, we specifically focus on lots of things with regards to how HR looks now. Are HR approachable? Were they approachable before? And also some of the passions that Ellie has within HR, as well as what she thinks HR might look like post-COVID. Also, if you really like the show, don't forget to follow and share. Your support really helps. Hello.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. You?
Yeah, not bad, thank you. Good, thank good. You so much for inviting me on.
I'm excited to talk to you. Actually, I like talking to anyone, to be fair. Bit of a loner, me. Yeah, no, you look great. You've pimped yourself up for the ride.
The thing is, though, us HR professionals, we're not all suits and boots. We do have to look, you know, relatively nice sometimes.
So you look amazing.
Try. Thank you very much.
You look amazing. So, it's really brilliant. I'm really excited about this podcast because, in this particular episode, because we are going to be talking about HR and all sorts of things HR. Now, we spoke on LinkedIn very briefly. I really wanted to engage with a HR advisor or manager, someone that's been really involved in lots and lots of things. And after speaking to Ellie, it really got me thinking that, yeah, she's perfect. Okay, so she's going to tell you a little bit about herself and who she is and why she's here, I guess.
Hi, everyone. My name's Ellie. I am have been a regional HR advisor. I've worked within hospitality with many sort of like big publishing sort of brands, really, within the sort of casual dining sector. I started my HR career at 19. I met some very influential HR professionals, really, and I started in recruitment and then worked my way into HR doing it that way. I did an internal recruiter role, and my HR director at the time was like, Ellie, I need you to take some minutes at a meeting for me. And I was like, oh, okay. She asked me, how did it go then? And I was like, well, actually, I've decided, Joe, I really want to do this. This is way more interesting than looking at CVs all day long. And then it kind of grew from there, really. Worked for, you know, I was in my last role, I was across the length, breadth and depth of the country, covering 73 sites within all sort of airports. Volume ER was massive. So for anybody that's listening that's new and wants to get into HR, that is what I would call your bread and butter, your foundation of how you get into HR. It's all about your employee relations. So all your grievances, your disciplinaries, you're telling people off, that's kind of where you start, really. So yeah, it's been interesting. And then I was sadly made redundant due to COVID.
It's a very great intro. Thank you very much. And that's another thing we touched on is obviously you have been made redundant through COVID. So it's really great to get your insight while we're in this particular period. But before we touch on any of that kind of stuff, what I wanted to talk to you is there was one particular piece that I find very interesting. Is that years ago, you've got this understanding or this view, certainly, that HR, there's one scary lady, you don't want them to see anything. And I think sometimes they're seen as not so approachable. What do you think? What's your sort of stance on this? Some people might say HR is completely approachable. Some people might think they're not. What's your thoughts on this?
It's so different and it's so varied for every single business. Every single business is set up, their people function is set up very differently. Donkeys years ago, HR was very transactional. It was very, you go to HR for a telling off and that's it. They don't really do anything else. They don't add any value. And I think in sort of, especially in the last sort of, since I've been in HR, HR are now seen as adding value to a business. They're key to a business because they are proactive, they look at talent, they look at diversity, they look at the whole shebang and shaboogle, really. And I think that HR has now become way more approachable because for me, especially in my roles, I've always been visual. I've been out at my sites, meeting with all my managers, all day, every day. So therefore, they are more likely to buy into you because you're there, because you're visual, you're seen within the business. You're not just tucked away in a corner in head office. Mm. And there's not that head office relationship. It's Ellie's coming in from HR, but she's really nice and she's really cool.
So when did you start in HR? What year? What are we talking about here?
Oh God, when did I start in HR? I started in HR in 2012.
Okay, so let's have a look now. So I always think that certainly things change a lot quicker now with the fact that technology changes, it enables us to adapt and move very quickly. You know, it doesn't take long, you know, a few years and things can be completely overhauled. Let's look at back 2012 to here we are now. How has HR changed from when you first started? Do you have the ability to add more value? Are you still just running and ticking boxes? How has it changed? Is it changing?
It's changed so much, Claire, from when I very first started in HR. When I first started in HR, HR was seen as, you know, the woman in the office. They would go, you'd go into HR and they would tell you off. And they weren't very approachable. They were quite archaic. They were seen as dinosaurs. I got called once Cruella de Vil when I went to a site in my very first regional HR role, because we were there to tell everybody off. HR only ever come when someone's in trouble. That whole perception now is completely different. HR is not like that at all. HR is about delivering on a strategy. We have a purpose, we have a vision, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. But it's also about making sure that we have the right talent around us, so managers have got the right capability to be doing their jobs. And we are now having more open, honest and engaging conversations with really key stakeholders. Mm. We're not just seen as the devil that turns up on site to tell people off. We're not like that at all. And that sort of archaicness has completely gone from the world of HR. It's not like that anymore at all.
It's brilliant to hear that those things are changing and moving forward. One of the things I did want to touch on as well, and actually it does sort of go within that sort of COVID bubble, because at the moment it is incredibly uncertain. We know this. We don't know who's going to be made redundant, when they're going to be redundant. What does furlough mean? It really, does that mean longer redundancy, as it were? Is it just mean waiting on the shelf to be, you know, not have a job? You know, will you go back? Will people go back? How will people be? How, you know, is this building up anxiety? It's all around the mental health bubble.
Mm.
Now, yeah, massively so. And so in terms of that part of things, this is, although it was already a small part of HR to deal with mental health, deal with people, you know, leave periods, compassionate leave, things like that. They're all there to deal with that and work with this. This is a new kettle of fish. We're dealing with people which are concerned about their lives. How can sort of HR support this properly?
In all the organisations and the large, I mean, I've only ever worked in sort of large corporate organisations. I've never really worked for small to medium enterprises. But in every single organisation I've ever worked in, we've always had an employee assistance programme that's been there.
Do most people know this is available?
Yes.
To them?
Because we have posters out up at site. Whenever I'm at site, I'm quite pro it. So whenever I do like a long-term sick meeting, I always, reinforce the fact we have got an employee assistance program. We've had a huge, there's been so much focus on mental health in the past, I would say 4 or 5 years. So since I sort of really came into HR, there's always been that focus and I've always pro'd it and I've always kind of championed it. In one organization I worked in when I contracted, we had mental health champions.
Oh,
so
nice.
They were the people that kind of understood what they were, the one person you could go to, so as a backup function for HR, where obviously we were limited. Yes, I was covering 73 sites across the UK.
Yeah.
At those key sites, we had a mental health champion. So it would be a manager that's worked in mental health or someone that has got experience in mental health to support these guys through it. Obviously, from a HR perspective, everything, you know, was, you know, some of it was documented, some of it wasn't. I mean, it's totally confidential, that employee assistance program. And employees feel it's not confidential. HR are going to know. And that's where the old school HR mentality comes in. Mm. Whereas I'm so pro about changing that whole perception. If you want to tell me confidentially that you have called the employee assistance program, by all means do. Because if there's something bigger going on that is going on within your personal life or in your work life, I want to know so that I can support you through it.
So the employee assistance program is a kind of separate thing from HR? Is that what you're...
It works in partnership with HR. Okay. So there's companies that you can work with. Like, we had one with Bupa. So you could ring up Bupa and they were all mental health trained people to support you through any issues, really, anything to do with like money, financial, personal problems, the whole shebang. Well, so important to be able to talk about things openly, honestly, and transparently. And I wouldn't, you know, if any, I've had managers come to me in quite senior exec roles have said, Ellie, I'm really struggling with work. There's stuff going on in my personal life. And I'd be like, oh, okay, what can I do to support you? How can I best support you? And this is what I'm going to do moving forward. I give them the employee assistance program, but I also say, if you are still struggling and you call them and they're not, and you don't find they're very beneficial, what I can do is I can refer you to our occupational health team, who are external to the business, and we can arrange for you to have 6 sessions of counselling and therapy. I don't call it counselling because I think it sounds awful. I like the phrase therapy. Therapy is much more nicer. And we had a therapist who wouldn't be seen as weird.
Well, I think it's funny that you could touch on that. So I don't actually, I'll disagree with you in the sense that it's the same stigma. Counselor, I don't like. Therapy is very American. I like the idea of a coach or somebody that, a listening coach. But no, they're great tips on how HR can support this particular piece properly. And that doesn't mean, you know, if you're a small company listening to this and you're listening to Ellie here talk about her big corporates and all of these different silos of areas where employees can go to before they, you know, anything really bad happens or anything like that, so they can sort of have these filters, and you're a smaller company that doesn't have that, those small pieces which you mentioned there, Ellie, right at the end about just having those conversations and just being open with people, and how that relationship between HR and employee can be a normal relationship, not a business relationship,
absolutely,
you know, can really help. And I think that's that would be good for some listeners to hear.
It's really vital that they don't just see, you know, when we're out at site, it's about saying, have you got 10 minutes, and just have a 10 minute conversation can resolve a whole host of things. And it's not just about, it's about taking that time out at the end or beginning of the shift if you're a manager listening, you know, and you've got concerns about your employees, take 10 minutes at the beginning or the end of the shift and just speak to them and just say, I've noticed things ain't quite right, or something's going on, you don't seem yourself. Have that conversation, because it can prevent a whole host of problems later on down the line.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think it's so refreshing to hear you say that, because I'm not saying that I've not heard that. I've definitely heard it before, but it's nice to hear it continually being said, that HR are saying, no, you know what, nothing or not everything needs to be documented, written down in a certain file. We can just have a conversation with someone and say, hey, I know you quite well. You're not as bubbly as ever. Is everything okay? And for employees to think, this is okay. I'm just having a normal chat. It's not being documented. You know, yeah, it's not so great. I heard my friend had something wrong with her yesterday and it's affecting me a little bit. You know, because it could be that you as a HR could tell them and say, you know what, go home for the day, honestly. Or it could be that you might be a HR manager and you might think actually going home all day or being away from people or being on your own is probably not the ideal thing to be. I mean, obviously at the moment it's a bit different. We're in COVID. We're already home. But you know, I loved it. Love hearing that in HR at the moment. So I just want to touch on you a little bit now personally, Ellie, and you've given everybody an opportunity to hear your thought processes, where you'd come into HR, what you've done, and I know you're currently looking for a new role. Tell the listeners what you're really passionate about HR. I know you fell into HR, or you kind of moved into that direction, and everything's kind of moved on from there. So what makes your passion continue within this? What are you passionate about?
I think I'm passionate about making sure that we do the right thing for the right person within that business, whether it be for the business or for the employee. All my managers used to say to me, you were really pro the business, you were pro the managers and your general managers, which are your main key stakeholders. Yes, you have key stakeholders right the way through your business, but I think your sort of like your general managers, the managers that you speak with all day long, are your key stakeholders. And the rest of it is really important as well, building those key relationships, spending time with those people, being as visual as you can. For me, my most passionate thing is making sure that HR are seen out in the business, that we are visual, that people know who we are because we're more approachable. It's not about being hidden away in a shared service. Don't get me wrong, shared services have their purpose. Payroll is often, you'll often find in there. I was speaking to one of my old general managers who said to me, I've never even met my HR business partner for my site. Wow. I was like, excuse me? And that's just not acceptable in my view. I'm pro.
HR is very much people, isn't it? It's very physical. Well, I know we can't be physical at the moment, so it's a bit kind of, you know, too, but it is very, I don't really know what the word is. It's very, like you say, visual. It's a very visual role. You have to be seen. People have to say, no, I know exactly who these people are. I know who that is. I know who does it. I know what that person can do for me, or I know how they can help me. And yeah, I agree. So it's a really odd situation for someone to not have met their HR business partner.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think as a people function, you know, we need to be delivering on what we need to deliver. Yes, we ultimately have a day job to do, but we also have the opportunity to really influence change. And we have the opportunity, we're seen as leaders. We are seen as doing the right thing. We are all of those good things that the CIPD, you know, really speak about. And when I was going through my CIPD qualification, I learned an awful lot about my learning styles and how I like to learn, which also develops into how I get my managers to learn new things. So when I've presented like absence management training, yes, everybody thinks it's really basic, but absence costs the UK economy £3.8 billion a year. So actually, you know, as a business, what are we doing about our talent? Are we reviewing our talent in the right way? Have we got managers that are in the right role, but actually they're doing a great job, but we've got a gap in a more senior role that they could probably do better? Could we give them maybe more responsibility where we have a gap to be able to fulfill those needs?
So is this something that you would be, so moving into a new role, these are all your passions, these are all right at the top there, thinking to yourself, this is what I need to implement into a business, and at least talk about.
I've
interrupted you loads of times. I'm like a secret interrupter, but not really.
I think also though, Claire, to be fair, my next role would be regional. It would be out and about, get me out in the business, get me working with your managers within, and then look at what we've got, look at what talent we've got, look at where our ER is currently sat at. Is it still in a shared service? It's about prevention and risk damage and risk analysis and analysing those risks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I absolutely agree. So I just want to jump in and say this now, because I think that what you're saying now lends itself to my next question, which is, what do you think HR will look like post-COVID? Does this incorporate what you're saying?
Post-COVID, to me, I believe that HR teams will be more visual. They'll be out at sites, but they'll be working predominantly based from home to do all their meetings via either Zoom or, you know, via conference calls. I think the use of technology has now become so apparent, and it's proven that businesses can use technology. We have no need for these huge extravagant head offices because nobody's using them. Businesses now, I mean, especially in my world with hospitality, we had a head office in London, in central London, and you know, we had an external office up in the Midlands somewhere. And the thing for me is that when I was meeting all my managers and like exec team and stuff, we'd be like, well, why don't we just meet at a site? We'll go and have a coffee. And we have much more of a transactional, you know, we have a relationship rather than a transactional relationship. And I think that it's more proactive as well, because when you're at site, not only do your general managers see you and you're sort of, but they see the really senior stakeholders. Like my old director used to ring me and say, Ellie, are you around? Let's go and have a coffee in Heathrow or wherever we were at one of the airports. And we'd sit at one of our sites, we'd have a coffee, discuss what we needed to discuss, have a professional meeting in a really relaxed, normal working environment, rather than being in a head office or in a boardroom. You know, there's certain conversations
I agree
to have. You have to
it
have
just
in
puts
a head
both
office.
Yeah, and it yeah, certain for conversation, certainly in a head office, and be able to make it very, people like to feel that they're part of something, and we are people at the end of the day. You know, we like to be part of something, and sometimes being in a Zoom call and virtually doesn't cut it. And having that real physical engagement with individuals really does move the relationship beyond steps completely.
Yeah.
So I think visual is great. Hopefully we can continue staying visually close to each of, you know, individuals as we move forward and be able to interact physically and get into our groups again.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. Shared services came in the night, like the early 2000s, because businesses, especially after 2000, post 2008, past the previous recession, because it was a way of saving costs.
Mm.
However, with that, where they saved costs on a regional team, their tribunal claims have gone through tenfold, because there's more pressure being put on managers to be able to do the employee relations things. And where they haven't necessarily had that exposure or that experience, they've left the business wide open to things. Yeah. So I've, you know, had experience with managers and they're going, but Ellie, I've never done anything like this before. I'm like, okay, it's fine. That's why I'm here. I'll go into a home visit with you. We'll go meet this long-term sick person. We'll do everything and I will be with you every step of the way. And I'll coach you through that process so that if it ever happens again, you know exactly what to do. Mm. And if you still want me to come up and do it, I'm more than happy to, until you're comfortable with doing these meetings.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think you're absolutely right. I do think this is what potentially HR can look like and benefit from. It's Thanks. Been absolutely great listening to you, Ellie. You've been wonderful.
Thank you.
You've answered all the questions I wanted you to answer. I was really keen to get your point of view and really understand what your thoughts were. And hopefully the listeners can hear that, you know, just how passionate you are about HR and how valuable someone like you can be that is in within this space, in your team, someone that is very friendly, approachable, but also very creative and assertive, but without being too trampling. You know, you don't want that as a HR. You want someone to have that assertivity and bring it forward. Ellie, before anyone disappears, do you have any top tips for anybody looking to get into HR, whether that be right at the beginning or as a complete switch?
I think as long as you are passionate about your people, you understand your market hold, it's not all fun and fluff at all. In actual fact, it's really hard and really challenging. You need to be aware of that. My advice for going into HR would be start off small, start in a really small team, get your experience with your employee relations information, and then I would go from there really and sort of see where it takes you.
And I think actually, you know, if anyone says it's just an easy admin role, you know, there is admin, but it's not just that. It's really, really understanding, you know, high levels of emotional intelligence within yourself and being able to facilitate that within teams across the business, and also strategically look at how things can be implemented between employee and HR.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you, Claire. Well, thank you so much for having me.
No, look, it's been great. It's fantastic. One, I'm like looking at you. You look amazing. I look as though I've just rolled out of bed. Look, without anyone knowing, Ellie's also done her nails for this show. Can you believe it? She's gone in with red nails. She's like a killer woman. She's like, woohoo! So it's brilliant. It's great. She looks amazing. Ellie is looking for a new job. So if there is anybody out there that thinks Ellie is amazing and would like to have a chat with her, you can find her on LinkedIn and I'll pass you over to her so she can let you know what her name is and how you can find her and all that kind of stuff. So Ellie, where can they find you?
So if you go on LinkedIn, I'm actually down as Ellie Griggs, and you'll see my LinkedIn profile as looking for regional opportunities within hospitality. So that's kind of my background. That's where I've kind of come from. It's what I enjoy most. Yeah, that's where you'll kind of find me. And then Ooh. If you want to pop me a message, then feel free to do so.
Yay, exciting. It'd be lovely to continue following you and see how your journey goes and, you know, keep listening. And
oh, absolutely.
You.
Thank you. Thank you so much for everyone listening. And thank you, Claire, for having me as well. It's really nice. It's really
no worries. All welcome. Bye.
Bye.
If you like what you heard, please remember to follow and share.